Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on strategic importance of critical minerals and India's critical mineral mission. The participants are Subimal Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Namaskar and welcome to Money Talk. Today we focus on a subject that will shape India's economic and strategic future, the critical minerals mission in India. Critical minerals like lithium, cobalt, nickel, and rare earths power electric vehicles, renewable energy, electronics, and defense technologies, and India has now launched the National Critical Mineral Mission with a 7-year roadmap to secure these supplies. To decode what this means for growth, investment, and national security, we have with us a very special guest, Mr. Subimal Bhattacharji, noted policy expert on technology, geoeconomics, and national security. Mr. Bhattacharji, welcome to Money Talk.
Thank you very much.
To start with, for our listeners hearing this more often these days, what are critical minerals and how are they different from traditional minerals like coal or iron ore?
See, critical minerals are those which are essential for the economic development and national security, where, you know, supply chains might not necessarily always be within the domestic shores. And it is very, very important to be able to secure the supply chain because they span in many areas that, you know, keep the economy and the nation going. You just listed various areas in which the critical minerals are required, like electric vehicle and battery storage, the renewable energy systems, semiconductors and electronics, defense and aerospace, green hydrogen production. So in most of these areas, over the last few years, the usage of all these minerals have increased significantly across sectors that have become very, very critical as far as that seamless functioning happens. So it is very important to secure the supply chain, and it is very important to see that they are able to continue the pace as well as grow the economic development in the country. And that is where they are different from the, you know, normal, easily available minerals that are in preponderance in the country. Okay. And the other thing about the critical minerals is that they are not necessarily always in good supply and might be confined to geographies which now are becoming an important aspect of the geopolitical tussle. So China, which holds a lot of the critical minerals, often creates problems, as you have seen in the recent past. And so one has to be able to look at it as a national priority to be able to secure its supply chain as well as see that no disruptions.
Okay. The Union Cabinet has approved the National Critical Mineral Mission with a plan running roughly till 2030-31. What is the core objective of this mission?
Well, you know, this is a fantastic program delved last year by the cabinet. And, you know, it actually runs into 7 areas. Basically, idea is to boost India's domestic capabilities as well as the international arrangements under which you could get your critical mineral supplies. So, you know, so the 7 aspects, are like, as I mentioned, you know, the increasing the domestic critical minerals production, then acquisition of critical mineral assets abroad, then recycling of the critical minerals that are available for usage. Of course, the trade and the markets, then scientific research and technological advancement in all those areas. You know, we have resources. We really haven't over the years been able to build on the right optimal ecosystems for harnessing those. So how do we improve on that? Of course, the human resource development and skilling around this sector. And then, of course, even find the right funding to be able to look at this from a long-term strategic success.
India advancing critical minerals mission to meet the rising demand has also been focused on by the Prime Minister Narendra Modi. He has said that India is advancing its critical minerals mission to meet rising global demand for rare minerals. Let's hear what he said.
जो हमारा डिजिटल इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर है उसका आधार क्रिटिकल मिनरल्स है इसलिए भारत नेशनल क्रिटिकल मिनरल मिशन पर काम कर रहा है। हम रेयर मिनरल्स की अपनी डिमांड को अपने यहां ही पूरा करने में जुटे हैं। पिछले 4 सालों में हमने क्रिटिकल मिनरल प्रोजेक्ट्स पर काफी काम किया है। साथियों, सेमीकंडक्टर सेक्टर की ग्रोथ में हमारी सरकार स्टार्टअप और एमएसएमईज को भी बहुत बड़ी भूमिका में देख रही है।
मूविंग ऑन, हाउ वेल इज दिस मिशन लिंक्ड विद अदर नेशनल प्रायोरिटीज लाइक मेक इन इंडिया, आत्मनिर्भर भारत, द ईवी पॉलिसी एंड द नेशनल ग्रीन हाइड्रोजन मिशन?
Absolutely. I think, as the Honorable Prime Minister has also mentioned about the focus for the last four years. So, in June 2023, the Ministry of Mines had actually finalized a list of 30 critical minerals. And that was done after comprehensive stakeholder consultations. Now, this was a very, very good exercise, I would say, because that exercise actually looked at the overall sector to link it to many of the larger policy-wide reforms that were happening on the country in many sectors, including technology. So the classification, that came in that, the 4 wide classification, the energy transition minerals like, say lithium, graphite, cobalt, nickel, vanadium, or the technology and electronic materials, again, gallium, germanium, indium, silicon, the high purity variety. The strategic and defense materials like, palladium, rhodium, ruthenium, and the industrial, minerals, the copper, zinc, tin, bismuth, niobium, all of those. And that classification is very, very important because if you go to the sectors, the electric vehicles and battery storage, that itself is a big development. When you have green commitments to the international community that you have made and then you have to make it, you have to be on target. And so that's where, you need those minerals available and the supply chain steady. Similarly, the focus on our renewable energy is significant. This country has really benefited from government's significant policy changes to get renewable energy in place across the country. The amount of gigawatt, bolstering that has happened is significant. In fact, if you look at it, each 3 megawatt turbine needs about 600 kg rare earth magnets. So this is also significant. And with our 500 gigawatt target by 2030, silver demand could reach to 2,000 to 3,000 tons annually. So if you, just take those two sectors, and you mentioned about the green hydrogen, or green hydrogen, again, is another very, very specific area that the government has concentrated. And tomorrow, a lot of the public transport will run on it. Again, that's an area where you require a lot of work and harnessing to be done. And I think we have achieved success in a very good period point of time. So it all ultimately goes to many of the efforts that are happening, parallelly together, where, of course, the focus on Atmanirbharta is there, the focus to look towards the Viksit Bharat 2047 targets are there. So in a wholesome approach of growth of all the critical sectors, this whole effort from the India's Critical Minerals Mission delves into quite extensively. And I think the milestones that have been put across, and maybe, by 2030, we would far much exceed many of these areas. But what is very critical, and I repeat it, is that the international geopolitics around critical minerals have become so pronounced. What we are looking at as build up and boost the domestic capacity, build up the international linkages, acquire international thing, do our own skilling, do our own harnessing, all of that. It's a comprehensive plan, and I would think that it falls into all the other policy, wider, larger policies to take the country forward. This falls very much as part of that whole game.
Okay, since you mentioned, Mr. Bhattacharjee, the global side, a handful of countries, as mentioned by you, dominate mining and especially processing of key minerals. How serious is this geopolitical concentration risk for India, particularly with China's dominance in processing?
This is a very, very critical area because we have always had the best of the relations with China, despite our intent. And many of the steps that they take often create concerns about what their intent is. And so if you follow very closely. Yesterday, the new U.S. ambassador to India, in his first speech in Delhi to the embassy staff, mentioned about, India will be invited next month to the Pax Silica, which, you know, if you recall, was announced last month in Washington with 9 countries as the signatory, including all the Quad countries, but India was not there. Now, this was a certain kind of a concern because India was also a very important part of the ecosystem that was giving a boost to the global semiconductor ecosystem, the AI ecosystem. So that is also very, very significant. Now, if you look at Pax Silica, why was it formed? It was formed to see that the global supply chain around critical minerals and the ecosystem, you know, that runs on them do not get trapped into the geopolitics. So while it might still be seen as an American-led alliance, but it has members who are globally seen to be far much more stable, reliable, you know, like Japan, the UK, Australia. So I think this is very, very significant that we are also getting into this alliance. But to come specific to your question, yes, the worry around China is very much there because for the last few years, they have weaponized this area of critical minerals. And because they have a lot of reserves themselves, and they have already shown that at some stages, you know, they are trying to pull the rug on and off. This has created concerns among most of the nations. And that is where the international cooperation gets very, very significant. I wouldn't be surprised to see that this year particularly would see far much more global conversations on critical minerals cooperation. And possibly, you know, if at all China also understands that it has to be a far much more mature player in this game, it will also cooperate. But okay, right now, you know, it's still in a state of flux. And I think we all have to secure our own supply chain in priority.
Okay. The mission also estimates significant public and private investment over the next 7 years. Broadly, what kind of investment scale and risk profile are we looking at for critical mineral projects?
Yeah, I think in the mission itself, you know, from the 2024 year to the 2030-31 timeframe, some of the estimates have been made. For example, you know, the securing the domestic and foreign sourcing about more than, you know, 1200 crores have been, you know, put across as for exploration, but incentives for recycling also has more than about 400 crores. And the strengthening the value chain, you know, skill development, some 10,000 crores have been put. So about 35 to 40,000 crores in the immediate, this period of time is definitely going to be put into the sector because it's just not only the trading part of the thing, but a lot of the work around building the capacity would consume a lot of money. But henceforth, the constraints around investments won't be missing. And most important is that a lot of the industry and the private sector would also get involved in this. So they're also going to bring their investment. So I think, you know, it is going to be a sector that will see a lot of investments in the next few years. So, you know, to give you a figure, as I've told you, maybe about, you know, 35,000 or 40,000 crores I see immediately, but there would be far much more because the cascading impact,
okay,
when people see the benefits and when they see the larger market, would definitely be there.
Mr. Bhattacharjee, thank you for those sharp insights into India's critical minerals mission and the way it will influence our clean energy transition, manufacturing ambitions and national security. Thank you for being with us on Money Talk.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on strategic importance of critical minerals and India's critical mineral mission. The participants were Subimal Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Money Talk.